Your spring is about to get a lot more power with the Home Depot. Get gas-like power from mowing, trimming, and blowing with the Ryobi 18-volt One Plus system starting at just $89. Mowing power that can take on a third of an acre with one charge. Trimming power with up to 2 hours of runtime. And blowing power with 110 miles per hour of clearing force. All on one interchangeable battery. Get cordless gas-like power for the entire lawn with the Ryobi 18-volt One Plus system. Only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
This episode is brought to you by UiPath. Human achievement can be slow. 200,000 years to go from the wheel to your jalopy? Really? But today, 90% of the Fortune 500 are accelerating human achievement simply. When AI is everywhere, every process can be automated and accelerated. 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 UiPath, the AI everywhere foundation of innovation.
Hey guys, welcome back to Making Moves. I am here with probably one of the coolest people I will ever meet in my entire life. And one of my favorite things about her is that she's from Indiana, because I'm an Indiana girl. But she is the former senior vice president of retail at Apple and the former CEO of Burberry and is now currently on the board of Ralph Lauren and Save the Children, Airbnb, and Charity Water, and WPP. Did I get those right?
You did. Good job.
And with great honor, I would love to present my dazzling guest, Angela Arendts.
Thank you. Thank you. Nice to be here with you.
Thank you so much for coming.
It's fun to be here.
I'm so honored. Well, Angela, I have to ask you, what is your, I always ask my guests, for some reason, if someone for some reason doesn't know about you, can you give me your elevator pitch? Like what have been your career moves and personal moves and just a little elevator pitch?
Okay, well, you just told them, I'm not going to repeat what you just said.
Okay.
So I'll give you the other side of that because you just
Perfect.
Went to the business side.
Yeah.
So I when I left Apple, I put on my LinkedIn profile that I am a loving wife, mom, daughter, friend, sister. And I was actually I was going to do a better job at that in this next chapter of my life. But then yes, I've done all the business things that you've talked about. But I think it's so important not just to be known for what you do in business, but you know, someday you're going to retire from your business. Someday your kids are going to leave you, and
yeah.
I'd like to have my husband there to live happily ever after with. And so, you know, he has to be a priority through all of the work priorities as well. So
totally. And one thing I admire about you so much is that I was watching a bunch of, you know, interviews you've done and podcasts and whatnot, and you've said in multiple times in them that you're a wife first, a mom second, and a
executive third.
So what, can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, I just think that, you know, we all have priorities, and I think it's so important, especially when you're young, like, what do you want? And we always think we want a career.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, you don't think probably at your age, I'm going to have five kids or,
yeah.
You know, you don't. You think about your career and then you get that career. And I just think it's so important that you have a well-rounded life.
Totally.
And that you do have a great group of friends and you have, you know, your close family. And then you'll create your own family and you'll have your life partner. Because otherwise, it's a lonely, lonely world out there. And so I just think as you look out and you're balancing as your career's taking off, and I've always said you have choices and you have to decide the priorities in your life. And so, yeah, my husband and I, I'm going to really age myself. For January 1 is 44 years we've been together.
That is incredible.
And I have three Congrats. Amazing kids.
Yes.
And I've had a great career. So you can have it all. You may not get much sleep, or it may be a luxury, not a necessity, but but you can. And I think that, but you have to make choices throughout your life, and you have to, You know, I always said that when I was at Burberry, Christopher and I got invited to the Oscars. We'd get invited to all of the Vanity Fair parties. And, but we're in London, and that's out here. And I have a husband and three kids at home. And would I want my husband going without me? You know,
no,
I've been raised doing to others. And so, no, that's exactly it. And so we made choices. Most people wouldn't make those choices, right? But I was looking, I was playing, always playing the long game.
I
and
love
thinking
that.
I wouldn't want him to do that or, you know, so I'd go out one night a week. That's it for business. That's
and,
it.
And that was your cap one night?
That was it. And I, sometimes I'd do three dinners in one night. But no, but my assistants knew that I had to be home. I mean, that was the, you know, I was a mom first and
I love
wife
that.
First. And,
why is that level of importance, the, you know, wife, mom, executive, why is that so important to you?
Well, again, I'm in, you know, I always say that everybody's at a different phase of life or you're in a different chapter of your life. You're in the first chapter of your life, or you could say second or third if you wanted to talk about being young. But, you know, maybe let's say through high school, that's a chapter. Now you're in this next chapter, right?
Yeah.
You're not married. You don't have kids yet. And your career's taking off. And so each chapter holds something. I'm in not one of the final chapters, but I'm in the fourth quarter, if you will. And so I have left the corporate world and my kids don't live at home anymore.
Yeah.
And so, therefore I believe I could either be 100% alone or I have my life partner. And so, again, it's going to happen to everybody. You're not going to work forever and your kids aren't going to live with you forever. And so that's why I always said, if I looked out, what's really important, I don't want to live the rest of my life alone.
Totally.
You know, and so therefore I have to put him first. And it's a balancing act, right? And it's not always going to be perfect, but, you know, but if I put him first and I make choices that are the right for us along the way, then maybe I have a higher probability of being with him after everything else is gone.
Exactly.
You know, and but same thing with putting your kids first. You know, then hopefully you'll continue to have a wonderful, close, loving relationship because you made them the priority. And, you know, and maybe it's not all quantity of time. Maybe it's quality of time and all those special moments you have together. And
what is your love language?
My love language.
Have you ever heard of that?
No.
So there's this thing.
Too businessy.
No. Love language is like, it can be with, like my relationship with you, or it can be a relationship with a lover. And essentially there's like different forms of it. So I'm, for instance, a words of affirmation person. So I love giving words of affirmation, and I also love receiving words of affirmation. That like means a lot for, to me. But there's like quality time, physical touch, acts of service, and things like that. And like everyone has like, you know, one that's more prominent than kind of the others.
I think I'm all of the above.
Yeah. You're like, I like all of them. Gifts is one of them. Receiving or giving gifts.
Yeah, I'm definitely all of the above.
Yeah. I think we all have a little
there's
bit.
There's one.
Yeah. But like I specifically resonate, or I just appreciate so much words of affirmation. Yeah. Like, you know, people like are gassing me up and stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I love words, but I also love hugging and touching.
Yeah.
And I do love giving. I love, you know. So, yeah, so that's a tough one.
It's kind of like, how do you show and receive affection the most, I guess? Or like, you know, what do you appreciate? And I guess I'm a words girly.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you are. But I also think you have incredible presence and you have charisma. And I think you have this.
You.
No, but you have incredible energy. So I would also say that I think my energy and my warmth, you know, no different than, and so you can have this incredible connection with someone.
That's so true. And maybe you're just way more like mature than me and you recognize those things. I'm not there yet. You know what I mean?
Chapter four.
Yes. Okay. Well, speaking of energy, I was watching your TED Talk. That was groundbreaking. Guys, if you haven't checked it out, go watch it.
Thank you. TED Talk
about human energy. Obviously, that's such a big pivotal thing for you. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. I mean, it's not, you know, we were just talking a little bit about it, the charisma, et cetera. So I think that every individual, if you're conscious of it, and it's no different than you're conscious of the words, but it's not just what you're saying, it's how you're saying it and how you're making the other person feel.
My mom always said that growing up. She's like, it's your tone.
Yes, but it is. But if you evoke this positive energy And it has to be natural and authentic. It can't be, you know, everybody's born with a different energy level because we all have a different purpose in life. Mm-hmm. But I became very cognizant of my energy level and the impact that that had on people mm-hmm. and in leadership and in uniting people to do incredible things. I mean, very, you can, you know, but, and I don't think it's any different than a coach or a, you know, or in a band, maybe if you're the lead, you know, it's your job to use your energy to unite people. And then pretty average people collectively can do incredible things.
Absolutely.
And I learned that. I learned it in leadership along the way. So I just think that energy, I think being conscious of your energy is, and it was so funny. And I know that it works on every age because my youngest, Angelina, she was moving from London to California. Uh-huh. And we were trying to get into school. And we were studying all this stuff, asking questions. And at the end of it, I said, you have incredible energy. You may not be the smartest, you may not be, but be warm and just let your shine your light, let your energy come out. And this was all of a virtual interview she was doing. So it was so funny at the very end of it, and it all went well. And I said, how'd you do? And she goes, well, you know, about, and she's only like 14. Uh-huh. And she's like, well, you know, Mom, about halfway through, I could feel it kind of get, you know, kind of boring. So I just turned my energy on. And I thought, okay, it's working, right? She was conscious that she needed to, you know, which I'm sure you do, uh-huh. you know, on this podcast.
You need
to
liven up the
space. Boring for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. But when you do that, it brings people in, mm-hmm. you know, and then it's self-fulfilling, if you will. So.
Mm-hmm. Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Thank you so much to Apartments.com for sponsoring this episode of Making Moves. Apartments.com believes a dishwasher does more than just clean plates. It turns your whole place into a time machine by turning the time you would have spent washing dishes into extra time for you. That could mean more time to read, more time to knit, or more time to contemplate the vastness of time itself. With Apartments.com, finding somewhere to live with an elusive dishwashing/time-expanding device is easy. Apartments.com hosts the most rental listings with over 1 million available units. And with comprehensive search tools and instant alerts, you never have to worry about missing out on the perfect place. To find whatever you're searching for and more, visit Apartments.com, the place to find a place.
Your spring is about to get a lot more power with the Home Depot. Get gas-like power from mowing, trimming, and blowing with the Ryobi 18-volt One Plus system starting at just $89. Mowing power that can take on a third of an acre with one charge. Trimming power with up to 2 hours of runtime. And blowing power with 110 miles per hour of clearing force. All on one interchangeable battery. Get cordless gas-like power for the entire lawn with the Ryobi 18-volt One Plus system. Only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
One of my favorite things is, you know, when you're at a party or an event and just someone walks in and like they just light up a room. Mm-hmm. Would you say that's like what you're talking about, essentially?
Yeah. I mean, that's charisma, too. So that's a part of it. If it's authentic and if people are drawn to it, you know, I mean, it's funny. You can feel energy in people's homes when you walk into it.
So true.
Right? Uh-huh. If it's warm and inviting or cold and austere. Uh-huh. And so there's energy all around us all the time. Uh-huh. And you're getting it in different ways. But I think with a person, if it's someone that's authentic and sincere and, you know, and they're putting it out there, and then you're gravitating, you know, you can walk into a building and say, good morning, uh-huh. right? And then they say good morning. It's kind of like whatever you give, you get tenfold in return, uh-huh. right? Whether it's a smile or a hug or...
I know.
And so to me, that's all energy. It's little things mm-hmm. that draw people into your sphere, if you will.
Totally.
And then they feel better being a part of it.
That's something I realized with the masks. When mm. we all had masks on, and I didn't realize how much I would pass someone and be like, do a little smirk or smile. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And all the time now, if I'm wearing a mask, I use my eyes. And I'm like mm-hmm. trying to make it look because I want to seem inviting, because I didn't realize how much a smile impacted my day, and I'm sure impacts others.
Absolutely.
But how do you know? I guess I will say, I guess it is a feeling, but how do you know when someone's being authentic and genuine with their energy or their words or their smile? How do you know that isn't just for show? Because I feel like LA is a very showy mm-hmm. city. Mm-hmm. How do you feel that? How do you just know in your heart that that's an authentic, genuine person you're talking to or energy?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's funny, you use your instincts.
Okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. And again, you sharpen those instincts as you get older because all of the experiences feed in. Mm-hmm. But I always say that one of the greatest God-given gifts that every human is born with are their instincts. Mm. That's the only way as a species we've survived over the years. Right? We don't have fangs or claws or,
yeah.
right? No, but we survived as a herd, and we survived because of our instincts. No other animal has the instincts we have, but we don't use them. We're not taught them in school.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, did you have a class on instincts in the fifth grade? And no, nowhere, not even in university. But yet it's such a survival thing for us. And so to me, when anybody you meet, you know, pause, look him in the eyes, don't even listen to everything.
Uh-huh.
Like just instinctively, your gut will tell you.
Really?
Absolutely, positively.
How do they make you feel?
If you trust them, yes. Like innately, do I trust you? And if your instincts say, and don't fight that. A lot of times people want to like somebody, right? But
yes.
They may not, but their instincts are holding back. And so to me, do you trust them like that? If you got to get to that trust, uh-huh. and if you trust them, then anything in the world's possible.
Yeah.
But if you don't trust them, you're always going to be hesitant.
It's always going to be off.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I love that so much. You were saying how you're not a title girl, like in regards to like, you know, CEO, executive, blah, 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 professor, blah, blah, blah. I love that. And I have a few questions about it. You were saying like how on a plane, mm-hmm. if you're sitting next to a stranger, mm-hmm. and your business card was brought up or your title was brought up, it would ruin the connection mm-hmm. between you and the stranger. Mm-hmm. Why? I mean, I feel like I know what you mean by that. But for someone that's like, well, it would be so cool to know your job and, you know, pick your brain about that. Mm-hmm. Why? And, you know, what if it could really help them? Why would you not say your
title? Well, you might get there in the end.
Okay.
But it goes back to, again, getting that innate trust,
uh-huh.
right? So you don't want to intimidate. You don't need to impress. And so sometimes it's just nice to be on totally equal footing.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody has any idea what anybody does or where they're from. And so you can just have a very normal conversation mm-hmm. about any little thing. Now, if that trust is there, and then it goes to the, and then it may end up where yeah. you have a conversation on where, you know, I mean, I ended up on a plane one time heading to a new Apple store opening in Chicago. And I'm kind of, you know, working away, and there's a young guy next to me, big guy with skull cap on. And we didn't really talk much. And then the plane's kind of getting ready to land. And the stewardess kind of said something to me, and we were kind of chatting. Well, again, I don't know who he is, and he has no idea who I am. So we're just chatting.
Yeah.
So finally, as we're getting off the plane, he kind of looked at me and he goes, I asked him, you know, why are you going to Chicago? Well, he's hooking up with this girl, his wife, their anniversary or something. And you know, so I then, what do you do? Oh, I play football. Oh, who do you play for? Oh, for the Eagles. Oh, I said, it's really bad. Where are they located? I don't follow football. And long story short, he ended up throwing. They just won the Super Bowl and he ended up throwing, right, the winning pass, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know this, and he didn't need to share it. We had a lovely conversation. I told him where to get flowers for his wife and where to book the polo bar for dinner.
Of course you know where to get flowers in Chicago. I love that.
No, but we had such a lovely, lovely conversation. And he didn't know who I was, and I didn't know who he was, and it didn't matter. There was a lovely connection. But had we both known, maybe you would talk differently, or you wouldn't have gotten to the heart and the, you know, the anniversary and all the other lovely things we got to talk about.
The little things in life that should be romanticized.
Yeah, just making, I love people.
Yeah, me too.
And not the person they want you to think they are, but the real person.
I love that. That is so good.
Yeah, and I mean, it's sad because in this, you know, I think so many times people don't have peace with who they are. Mm. And, you know, I'm not a title. Like, doesn't matter. I've had a lot of titles, but I never handed out business cards. Nobody has a business card from me. Mm-hmm. Because why is that important? You know, I'm just one of 70,000 Apple employees, or I'm just one of 11,000 Burberry employees, and I have a job. Everybody has a job, right? We're all in this together. It's not, I don't care for hierarchy or titles, or it shouldn't define you.
Do you think, though, that because you have such an epic title, that's easier for you to say?
Yeah, but I didn't always have an epic title.
True.
I mean, and maybe I got the epic title because I never forgot where I came from.
Yes, which I love that about you.
And always felt my job was just uniting people and connecting people and being part of something bigger than myself, right? So maybe I never planned to be a CEO. I didn't plan any of that ever. But maybe it just happened because I didn't, right? Because I was focused on the more important things, which were just the human connection and loving people and giving to people and partnering with people and, you know,
it makes you want to work harder when you have a good connection with someone. Like for me, I'm so thankful and grateful to have such a great relationship with my boss and my coworkers. Mm-hmm. And it makes me want to work harder because I would never want to, you know, feel like I let them down because my relationship is so good with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the closer you are, the more things you achieve together, too. I mean, that's the fun part. It's like the self-fulfilling, you know.
Yeah.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to bite into Nerds gummy clusters? They're fruity. They're tangy. They're gummy. And they're crunchy. Nerds gummy clusters, a union of fruity sweet gummy and tangy crunchy nerds. Unleash your senses. Shop now at nerdscandy.com.
Add a berry blast off for your day with the new Berry Pebbles. A berry twist on a classic breakfast. Perfect for giving those growing minds a blast of creativity. With the new Berry Way to Pebbles. Yabba dabba do you with Berry Pebbles. Head to postpebblescereal.com to learn more. Yabba dabba do and the Flintstones and all related characters and elements, copyright and trademark Hanna-Barbera.
Well, I have one more question about titles, and I feel like this happens to me a lot, and it's a struggle of mine. I feel like in LA, like I said, it's very showy, you know, I'm so-and-so, this person has this many followers, that type of energy here, right? And it's exhausting. And being a female in this space that, you know, the entertainment world is so, and just, you know, the workforce in general, so heavily dominated with men and awesome men and not so awesome men. And, you know, and I feel like sometimes I feel like I need to prove myself with my title or, you know, say, no, I've done this. Take me seriously. What would you say to me or someone that feels like that when they're, you know, feel like they're pigeonholed into a corner? And you know, that icky feeling you get when someone makes you feel like belittled or like you need to prove, and maybe they're in a higher position than you. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I feel like sometimes I'm in that position where I'm mm-hmm. like, no, take me seriously. No, mm-hmm. like I've done this, this, and this. Mm-hmm. And even with my people from my hometown, I feel mm-hmm. like, you know, in India, I love it. And I, growing up, it was like the best place I could ever have grown up. And I'm obsessed with it. And I'm obsessed with Indiana people. But like, sometimes I feel like they just didn't, they were like fashion school. They were like, you're not going to be a doctor or a lawyer or an athlete. Like what kind of job are you going to get from that? And I felt like this whole time I've been having to prove, no, this, take me seriously. Mm-hmm. And like, mm-hmm. I feel like titles talk. It's just inevitable. Mm-hmm. So I guess, mm-hmm. What is your advice on that?
Yeah, it's a tough one, you know, because every situation that you're in, like you just called out three or four different situations.
Yeah, sorry,
that
I kind of went off there.
No, it's wonderful. But I think that, I think a lot of it depends on the situation too. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, there may from time to time, you know, like you said, you may have to say something, you know, to some bigwig somewhere to, you know, get them to take you seriously. But I also think that don't obsess too much on it. Obsess on just doing your life's greatest work.
Just do you.
And your work will speak for itself. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a musician son in London, mm-hmm. and he's an incredible writer. And and he's struggling to make it. Same thing, right?
Yeah.
And, it's competitive everywhere, in every industry. So how do you step above? And I just keep telling him, you're an incredible songwriter. Just keep writing the greatest songs in the world, and you will get that break.
Yeah.
Right? It's not just a lucky break. Uh-huh. You know, being persistent and working hard and, you know, just staying passionate and staying in your lane. And, I know it'll happen for him. Mm-hmm. I know. But he needs to say, and so I think the same. I stayed in my lane. You know, I went to fashion school. I stayed in fashion until I reached a point where it became more about leadership.
Yeah.
Right. Then you were able to. But let your, I think, you know, again, you may have to use a title from time to time. But I think more importantly, stay so focused on your work. Stay so focused and let it speak for you. Let it, you know. Because it'll, I mean, I look at these, it's incredible. It's great branding.
Thank you.
It's great. And so let everything you're doing.
Just speak for itself.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many people out there that are talking, mm-hmm. you know, but talk is cheap and they don't have anything to back it up with.
I love that. Talk is cheap. That's good.
Yeah. It's an old one. That's somebody else's.
That's great.
But let your brand, let your content, let your... You know, let that all speak for you.
Yeah.
And that has so much more, it's so much more sustainable than just mm-hmm. telling somebody you have a title. You want to get a business card and put a title on it and have done absolutely nothing with it, you know? But your content is your title.
I love that. Has there ever been a time where you felt like you were belittled? Like, for instance... I have developed a small but mighty Instagram following. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, every once in a while, there will be a comment that just icks me. It pokes at the right thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, clearly that's something deep down I'm insecure about, or that hit a chord where mm-hmm. I'm not okay with. How do you block that noise out mm-hmm. and stay in your own lane, march mm-hmm. to the beat of your own drum, and just... do let the content just, you know what mm-hmm, I mean? Because mm-hmm, sometimes mm-hmm. things get to you. Mm-hmm. How do you mm-hmm. get that out of your head?
I think you just keep it in perspective. Mm-hmm. Like you said, so what percentage of all the comments was it? So
one out of a gazillion.
Exactly. Yeah. And so it's meaningless, mm-hmm. right? Now, if 99 out of 100 said something, then you might want to take it seriously.
Yeah.
But
like
if one,
criticism.
No, but it is so... And I also think that sometimes people do it just for sport because they know how it makes you feel.
Oh.
Right? It's a game.
And talk is cheap.
Yes. Very good. So I mean, one, I wouldn't even read half of it.
Okay.
You know, and it's, again, I go back to my son. He listens to certain kind of music, but he won't listen to everything because he wants to stay in his lane.
Yeah.
And so my thing is lift up. You know, I'm sure other people are reading it for you and helping you out, et cetera, because you got to comment on some things. But I wouldn't read all of it. You don't, you know, you need to, you need to keep moving forward and look up and keep, right?
Yeah.
And if you're spending all the time looking back on everything everybody else is saying. And so
you won't even be yourself.
No. So, I mean, again, I know you have to do some of it, but focus on the future. Focus on where you want to go and the impact you want to make and why you're doing what you're doing. And some will love it and some will hate it. But so what? You're being the best version of the you that you can be and trying to impact people's lives and make a difference. And if everybody doesn't love it, so what?
Period.
You know, not everybody likes chocolate. Not everybody eats steak. I mean,
true.
It doesn't matter.
You can't make everyone like you.
No.
Yeah.
No. And you know what? We're all insecure anyway. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're all insecure.
Oh, my gosh, totally.
You know, and women maybe even more than men, or maybe we just show it more. But but I think being vulnerable is attractive.
Yes.
And I think being vulnerable attracts more people to you because then you're authentic.
Yeah.
Right?
Being vulnerable is sexy.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's okay. So I don't, you know, so if things hurt you, it's okay, too. Mm-hmm. You can say, you know what, that hurt me. Mm. And people will relate to that. I don't think, don't get hard and don't tune it out and don't, but you also don't have to read it all 24/7.
Yeah, I love that. All right, I want to circle back, I guess I'll use a business term there, to your Ralph Lauren board membership stuff. I am picturing, have you ever seen The Morning Show?
Oh yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's my favorite show in the world. I'm obsessed with Reese Witherspoon. She's amazing. I'm picturing, essentially, I want to ask, what the heck does being on a board of something like Ralph Lauren mean? I'm picturing The Morning Show, UBA, Jennifer Aniston's fired up. She walks up to the board, I'm putting air quotes, and she's mad. She's pitching herself for something. Bradley Jackson's walking in. She's in trouble. She has to talk to the board. Is that real life? I'm like, what does that entail? What does that mean?
Yeah, so most public companies have a board, right? If you're not public, you can have a board or you maybe have an advisory council. And it's all the same. The reason that a company has a board is to surround themselves with a group of people that each have a different expertise that can work with the team, if needed, to help continue to make them stronger, better, et cetera, right?
Okay.
So when you go public, there's a tremendous amount of, you know, financial accountability. You've got investors and shareholders, et cetera. So, of course, there's the CFO in the company, but then you'd have two or three people, finance pros, on the board.
Oh.
Right?
Okay.
That also head up the audit committee and oversee that work. But then you'll also have, you know, maybe a marketing person on the board that, you know, again, so all that the board should reflect is all the different departments in a company, but they are typically, not always, but a little more, I hate to use the word senior, but a little older.
Yeah.
They've been
mentor-esque.
Successful. They've done that before. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So it's the same thing with the Ralph board. It's a very diverse board. I mean, there's, you know, the ex-CEO of Best Buy, Hubert Joly, who's a brilliant, you
wow.
know, leader, et cetera. But there's Darren Walker, who's the head of the Ford Foundation.
Wow.
I mean, Valerie Jarrett, who was in the Obama administration for 8 years. So all adding different, everybody brings something different to the table. Think of it as collective wisdom.
Uh-huh.
Right? And so, you know, on Netflix or something or Apple TV, they're going to, you know, give you all the drama.
Uh-huh.
There's not typically drama. If there is typically drama, then you probably don't have a healthy company or a healthy board.
Yeah.
So
the board's always fighting in the, you know, the morning show. I'm like, do they fight?
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm sure that, you know, I'm sure there's some tension, but no, that mentor is a great way to put it. It's you're just advisors almost. And you're helping and guiding and the CEO will reach out to different, like, you know, Brian Chesky at Airbnb. Brian will reach out to different board members if he's got different things he's working on or different questions and so you're just there as a partner to help them continue to create an incredible company.
So you are on you're on several boards.
Three for profit boards.
Okay. Amazing.
And five nonprofit boards.
Casual. You say that so casually. I'm like, that's incredible.
Yeah, no, I mean,
it's amazing.
But I don't have a, you know, I don't have a full time.
You're just full time boards of everything. It's amazing. Okay, but I have to ask, are you, Airbnb and Ralph Lauren are so different, like companies. Mm-hmm. Are you serving as the same type of board member at both of those companies, or do you kind of have different roles, like per company?
Yeah, no, it's a great question, and no, because I'm only me. And uh-huh. So I'm not a brilliant finance executive. I don't sit on audit committee. Mm-hmm. You know, my background, I'm a leader. I'm a strategist. Mm-hmm. I, of course, grew up in fashion and business. I'm a business person. And so, you know, so no, it's me. Now, of course, when you're in a Ralph, you might, you know, talk a little bit more about product or, yeah. You know, and I would say I'm a marketer. So, mm-hmm. You know, my whole background is marketing and merchandising and fashion. But in Airbnb, You and I do think it's important when you reach a stage, if you're on an advisory council or a board, I think that you have to only go on those that you are passionate about, that you love the sector and you love the founders or the CEO mm-hmm. and the team, because then it goes back to our conversation on instincts, right? And instincts are informed by years of experience.
Absolutely.
But if you love, I love travel, I love tech, it's a marketing machine, that's my background. Mm-hmm. And so, but I'm me. So I show up the same on both boards. The topics might be slightly different. You know, the leadership might be slightly different at different phases, et cetera. One's a very new company. One's been around for 50 some odd years. So, but no, your gifts and your skills and your expertise, I can't change that. You know, I am what I am and who I am. Mm-hmm. And then you add value where you can, you know, in your opinions and your perspectives mm-hmm. With each of the boards, depending on what the needs are.
That's incredible. I love how you are from such a small town and you have taken those core values and like those Midwestern roots mm-hmm. with you to all these incredible boards now. And what would you say are like those key Midwestern roots or values mm-hmm. that you have instilled in yourself that you use every day now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've talked a little bit about it. I mean, I think trust is never been more important, never been more. And I grew up in a very trusting family and had very trusted friends. And it's such a vital thing for me. If I trust you, I can go to the moon and back with you.
Yeah.
We can do anything. We can change the world.
Idea is too big.
I talk a lot about trust. But then I also think that integrity
yes.
and respect and everybody can have an opinion. And if you have integrity and have respect, then you listen. You know, you don't judge and you don't. And I think it's once you trust, then you can be open to anything. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to judge and you're not going to because you have respect. Mm. And so, I mean, and they might sound so simple, but I think there's not a lot of trust out there today. And I don't think there's a lot of respect. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a lot of judging going on.
Absolutely, especially with social media.
And that's what makes it so divisive. Mm-hmm. And so then we're not united. And if we're not united, we're not going to change the world and make the impact that we want to make. Mm-hmm. You know, we talked about that before. Humans are meant to do things together. It's a collective. Mm-hmm. You know, teams win. Mm-hmm. You can have five of the most brilliant individuals, but they're not passing off and they're not, right? Then they're not going to win. And it's the same thing in the team you are building. You know, everybody's got to work together. Mm-hmm. When you work together, you can do anything. But I think we've become a individual society instead of a collective society. And
that is so true. I think that's why, have you seen The Last Dance on Netflix, the Michael Jordan series?
I did see some of it, yes.
I think you would really like it.
I did.
Because
a while ago.
I swear Michael Jordan would not be who he is. Obviously he's incredible. But Michael Jordan would not be Michael Jordan without Scottie Pippen.
Yes.
And yes. He also wouldn't be Michael Jordan without, you know, Dennis Rodman, all the other players on yeah. that team. Yeah. And that's why they won so many championships.
Exactly.
not to like go back to an Indiana bat, like a basketball sports reference. Obviously, there's Chicago Bulls, but I loved that series so much because they really showed how each person on that team was a sole reason why they won and why they were
because they were united and they trusted each other.
Mm-hmm. How do you know if you can trust someone?
My instincts tell me.
Your instincts. I knew you were going to say that.
They tell you everything. Just learn to use them. Most people don't.
Mm-hmm. Is there any practical tip that you could tell someone to start to learn how to use their instincts?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. People are moving so fast and talking so much and right and texting and messaging and it's just always putting it out. Just
communication,
stop for a moment.
Mm.
Pause. Stop. Listen. Feel.
Observe.
And just feel. You're meant to feel. And then you'll know. But we don't pause long enough to listen and to feel and to use our instincts.
Uh-huh.
So I think when you meet somebody, don't say anything for the first couple of minutes. Let them talk.
Wow.
Just listen and feel and ask yourself, do I feel them? Do I believe them? Do I trust them? Do I like them? Mm. Are our hearts aligned? You know, would I want to travel around the world with this person? I mean, just, you know.
That's such a good question to think. Do I want to travel around the world with this person?
Because sitting next to somebody in a seat for a long time is,
could be awful.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is one of your favorite feelings? Or what are your favorite feelings, like, in the world? Like, for instance, one of my favorite feelings in the world is leaving just a phenomenal conversation. Like, it's just like we're finishing each other's sentences, whether it's a date or a business meeting or like someone I met on the street. Mm-hmm. It just flows.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite feelings. What is one of your favorite feelings?
Mm-hmm. I think one-on-one conversation, but at this stage in life too, you know, I do some speaking things and I did one the other day to 1,800 people in Brazil. Or I did one a couple of weeks ago, you know, to 1,800 or 2,000, you know, CMOs, marketers around the world.
Amazing.
With the guy in Holland. And so I really prepare, I get the questions, I decide what stories are most relevant for those questions, and I put myself a couple of bullets down, and I don't rehearse, but I put it in my mind because I want to be succinct, and I want to, you know, I want to do great. And I always tell myself, if I can just touch a couple of them, if I can just make a difference in their life, like I've said something that will inspire them or
that'll hit.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so when I do one of those and you know, and all the chats comments are coming in, et cetera, and you can't even really read them, it's distracting. But if I do it and I feel like I'm on and I've nailed it.
Yeah.
And I feel like, I've touched them.
Yeah.
They felt me. I've touched them. I made a difference in their life. And then it gives me tremendous peace. Like, I feel like I did a good job that day.
That sounds like a great feeling that I would love to feel one day.
Oh, I'm sure you do.
That's great. Well, wrapping up, I have one last question. And referring back to your TED Talk, you said how your dad always said growing up, and it sounds like your family and your parents are the reason you are the way you are. And you're one of six, correct?
Yeah.
He said to you when you were younger, he knew he had raised you right if you looked at a photo and saw yourself last. And that blew my socks off. Because I'd be looking at me first on photos. And I'm like, I want to look at myself last. Can you just elaborate? What does that mean? Mm-hmm. And how do you get to that point where you're looking at yourself last in the photo? I feel like we're in such a social media driven. Do I look good? Is this post worthy? Mm-hmm. It's even a thing for, like, you know, friends will be like, it's okay, I look bad, but you look good, so post it type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think for all of us, you know, five girls and one boy, and it was right. And, you know, everybody doing their hair and trying to look beautiful long before social media.
Yeah.
But I think it was his way of letting us know that it wasn't all about us. And when we were really little, and if we would talk too much about ourselves, he would say, you have the I syndrome. And we'd look at him, I, you got the I syndrome because it wasn't all about you. And so my parents were very humble and very generous and kind, and they didn't talk about servant leadership back. They didn't, but they always did so much for everybody else. And so I think when he told us the photograph that you referred to, you know, he said, I will know I have done a great job if when you look at a photo, you look for yourself last. Mm. Right. And that was just basically saying that, again, it's not about you, you know, and if all you do in life is focus on you, then I don't feel like I've done a great job.
Wow.
But if you're focused on everybody else and basically, you know, trying to make other, not trying to make other people happy, but just trying to
bring light to
others, to be a great person in life. Yeah. That it's just not always about pleasing you. And it's not always about, you know, and his message was then you'll be happier, you know, and it kind of goes back to just like we were talking about with teams, et cetera. Right. Uh-huh. He wanted us to be a part of a collective. I mean, he knew that as an individual, we wouldn't totally be successful. But if we understood how to unite people and how to work together, that maybe we'd all have a better chance at, you know, success, whatever that is. So, yeah.
That is just brilliant. And clearly you have done such a good job uniting people, which is so awesome. And I'm just so honored to have the privilege to even talk to you.
Oh.
So thank you so much for coming on
it's
the show.
It's been a lot of fun.
It's been so fun. I was so excited.
I love your
energy. I love yours. and where can everyone... you know, follow you. I know you're really big on LinkedIn. What's your Instagram handle? Pimp yourself out.
Yeah, you know, I don't do a ton. I don't do a ton of social media.
Okay.
And I do LinkedIn because I feel like I have stuff to share. And so I put a lot of my content on LinkedIn. And I, like you said, it's a professional following.
And I love it.
And
your LinkedIn is fire.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you said with words and then it's not about me. It's about helping others. It's about, you know, I did a letter to my daughters on there. And
no, I loved that.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, my gosh.
That was one of my favorites.
It's one of my favorites, too.
No, and it was kind of saying life lessons, but in a whole totally different way. So,
way more relatable. Like the way you presented that makes anyone be able to relate to that. Because it was about like family and I don't know. I just love
stay in your lane.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, stay in your lane. Don't back up more than you have to because, you know, trips you up and
it's
go
so
to dark
simple.
Places. And
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I I do LinkedIn more than anything.
Okay. So they can just search your name on LinkedIn.
That's probably the best. Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. It was a blast to have you. And be sure to subscribe to this YouTube channel and the podcast Instagram at makingmovespod_. And we will see you next week with another episode. Be sure to make someone's day this week. Peace.